This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Hello, listeners. This is Rodney Brown speaking today, and I'm good and I'm glad to be with you to bring a Bible message. Today I'm reading in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to read the first 10 verses. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Last time we were thinking of this term of contrast that we find in verse 4, "but God," after all that had been said before concerning the condition of the readers who were dead in trespasses and sins, dead to God spiritually in verse 1, but alive to the world in verse 2, and walking according to the course of this world. And we see that they were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, a title for the evil one, the devil himself, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And Paul going on to say that as far as he was concerned in his past, as far as the Jewish believers were concerned in the past, they were the same as the Gentiles, and they were conducting themselves in the lusts of their flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and they were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We see at the end of verse 2 the term sons of disobedience, and then at the end of verse 3, children of wrath, just as the others. But then how good to notice the contrast coming in verse 4. But God, in the midst of such a hopeless and a helpless situation, God steps in. But God, and he speaks about God who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. And we see here how that God can give life to us because Christ gave his life for us. When we think again of Christ who gave his life for us on the cross at Calvary, and because of him giving his life for us, God can now give life to us. And we think about those who have this life, and it's not all who have this life, this spiritual life, this eternal life from God. Tragically, all do not have it. This was once the condition of these readers at Ephesus before their conversion. Now we know according to the New Testament that life is in Christ. Sadly, those who refuse to come to Christ do not receive this life. And I think of his own words as he spoke to Jewish people, religious people. He said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Here he was offering himself to them But he was telling them, you will not come. It was your will. It was your desire not to come to me, that you might have life. He said himself in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So there he was, the one who was the way and the truth and the life, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. But he says to those people in John 5 and 40 that they will not come to him that they might have life. Also, we think of the words of John the Apostle in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. He says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And we see Paul coming to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, and the people hearing the message that he preached concerning Jesus Christ, and whenever they believed in Jesus Christ, they were saved, they were born again, they received this life. God had given them life. And that's what we see in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, God has made alive. God has given you life, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then we see in verse 6 of chapter 2, those that he has given life to, he says, he has raised us up. And then also in the same verse, he says, he has made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ. And we think of this as what God did in the past. To those who were dead in trespasses and in sins, he gave them life. And we see in the verses what their current, their present condition is, with life, raised up, sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ. But then we also read about the future. And in verse 7, he speaks about the ages to come. In this chapter, we think of the past, we think of the present, and we think of the future. And how good it is to know for those who believe in Christ that there are these ages to come. There is a bright future for them. And what will it be? Well, he says in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In verse 4, we read about mercy. And mercy is that which comes from God righteously to hold back from people what they deserve, people who were dead in trespasses and in sins, people walking according to the course of this world, sons of disobedience, children of wrath. On a righteous basis, God can hold back the judgment. That's mercy. And the righteous basis, of course, is seen at the cross of Calvary, when justice was done, when the punishment was paid, but paid to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself had no sin but took the sin of others on himself, paying the price for that sin, dying on that cross and rising again. The mercy of God is just, it's righteous. And then we see in verse 8, the exceeding riches of his grace. This is the grace of God, the other side of it, as it were, the grace of God giving to people what they do not deserve. And we see here the riches of God's grace. We see the exceeding riches of God's grace, and it all comes to us in Christ Jesus. What a future there is for those who are in him, and what a revelation it's going to be in the future to receive more and to learn more and more and more of himself in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say how that this all can be made good to us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and it's not of works, so that no one can boast. And this salvation and this gift of life comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And then as a result of that, then there is works created, prepared beforehand for those who are already in him, that they might walk that path, they might do those things, that they might work those works that God desires from those who belong to himself. What a great thing that we read in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, but God, and we give all glory, praise, and thanks to him who has done all things well. Thanks for listening today. You're welcome to contact me on my email address. It is rodwbrown@gmail.com.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.